Welcome to the 100 Master Coaches series featuring master coaches from around the world. Let's journey together on this 100 Master Coaches series with your host, Coach Mel, MCC. Today's Master Coach is Eva Hirsch-Fontes. She is a Brazilian executive coach, trainer and facilitator, coach mentor and supervisor, and conflict mediator. She currently lives in Berlin, coaching senior executives, teams and high potentials from global corporations. Now onto the show.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the 100 Master Coaches series. This is Coach Mal. And today my special guest is Eva Hirsch-Fontes from Rio, Brazil. I would love to be in Brazil one day. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you, Mel. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for the invitation. And I will love to host you in Rio when I return to Rio, because right now I'm in Berlin.
So
I don't know for how long I'll be here, but I will try to be here for a long time. I'm experimenting life here.
Yes, yes, yes. Isn't life an experiment by itself, right? It's so amazing. Life is so rich. And every day, it's just a brand new chance to live it again. I heard in the pre-interview that you're doing some things as well in Berlin. You are cooking. You are learning German. Haha.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that experience. How has that been?
Learning German?
Danke schön. That's all I know.
Yeah. Well, my parents were German. And I do speak some German, but it's not good German. It's not fluent. So I have visited Berlin regularly because my son is here. And it was okay. But now if I'm experimenting life here, I really want to speak the language. And right now I think my brain is experiencing an overload of information overload. And there are moments that I just go mute in any language. If it happens here, please excuse me, because there are moments that the brain goes,
Is Mel asking you in Portuguese or in German? It's English. It's okay. Fantastic.
What's the word? It's so funny to observe ourselves and how the brain works. And we study so much about the brain, Mel. And one thing that I've noticed, that we all know that the prefrontal cortex takes up so much energy. And what I've noticed is at the end, my I have a class twice a week, and it's 60 minutes. By 45 minutes, my brain says, enough.
it's time to shut the class.
Tell the teacher nothing will be absorbed anymore, and we know what's happening.
Well, thank you for being on the show. It's a privilege to have you. You're obviously a master coach, and hence we're going to jump into the first question. How did it all begin for you? Tell us about your coaching journey.
I think coaching was a calling for me. I was an executive in the shipping industry. I started my career as a secretary, worked in two pharmaceuticals. Then I went into a family-owned business in the shipping industry. And there I built a career, 26 years in that group of companies, being an executive, from secretary to executive to the board.
Beautiful. Wow.
And I never worked with HR, was very much hands-on, operational, and then as I moved up, more strategic. And then there was a stretch assignment where I had, for 2 years, I had to be a finance director.
Okay.
And after that, I asked for a sabbatical. And during that sabbatical, actually, it was a precondition for me to take on that role. And during the sabbatical, I said, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. Enough. And this is the learning here.
Yeah.
Everything, it was a successful assignment, yeah. but everything that I did that worked was because of people, and everything that I did that didn't work was because of people. And I thought, okay, I've been studying about stainless steel for ships. I know a lot about stainless steel or numbers or I don't know enough about people, and people are my raw material, right? So that's when, I, as a director, I decided I wanted to study psychology. And I did.
Wow.
But I decided to work part-time, and I didn't even want, I didn't know what I was going to do with it. Why? I didn't want to be a therapist. I was not going to start a career in HR at that point.
Yeah.
So what? I didn't know. I just needed, I wanted to understand a little bit more about people. So that was 1998.
Wow.
I graduated in 2002. And then I was trying to find how to put these two parts together. My
together,
love for people, wanting to see people grow, and yet my to use my background as an executive. And in 2005, I heard about coaching for the first time. There were very few coaches in Brazil. It was not even if in its infancy, it's in its first months of life.
Wow.
So it was, I heard about coaching, and then I took a program in Brazil, and I decided I really wanted to get involved with it, and went to the Hudson Institute.
Okay.
And when I heard Pam McLean talking, I have the feeling, I arrived where I should be. And that's why I said it's a calling, because I knew this is it. This is what I've been looking for without knowing. I didn't have a coach.
Wow.
Because there were no coaches in Brazil.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny that you say that that same year, because that was the year that I often say I bumped into coaching. I say it's my calling as well now. And it's just so amazing, isn't it? How from different parts of the world, we're getting this call to come in.
Yes.
But I want to also believe that it has already been inside us somewhere, somehow. And it's like when you heard the call, when you went there and Pamela was speaking, for example, and suddenly that kind of connected for you. Do you think that is part of what happened?
I think so, absolutely, because in that shipping group, the owner died during those 26 years. After 13 years, the owner died, and he left five children, and I mentored and coached them without knowing the words didn't exist. But if
I
look back, this is what I was doing. I mean,
beautiful
coaching, but I was, I was asking them some questions. When I remember one of the questions I asked them, it was, where do you see yourselves in 5 years? But I wasn't a coach.
Well done. Amazing. You see, it's part of that DNA within you already somehow. Fantastic. Now we're just going to move on to the next question. And how was your first 5 years of your coaching journey? How was that for you?
Very fast. Everything happened very fast.
Okay.
The hardest part was to find clients in the beginning.
Okay.
When I needed to practice. Because, as I said before, people didn't know about coaching. I didn't know myself, so I had to ask people if they wanted to be coached.
And they say, what's
that? What is it? You put it on your hair, or you drink it? What do you do with that?
That's so funny.
You know, and it's an English word.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so that was the hardest part, to get the initial clients. But once it started, it went on. And because I had gone to such a great school, I mean, one of the best, because I spoke English, because of the background as an executive, I soon joined international networks. Who needed coaches in Brazil who spoke English.
Yeah, wonderful.
And I worked hard, and then I got my PCC credential. Mm. So after, I think, 3 years, I had my PCC credential.
Beautiful.
So who were credentialed. And then it started happening. Mm. It went quite fast. And Mel, what I had not expected was that I was going to become a trainer and work with business schools. It was, I didn't see that coming, but it happened too. It was a development of that.
Absolutely. One thing happens and then another thing happens, and soon enough, you ride with that passion, don't you? You just flow with that and it just works out. So Ava, if I were to ask you your bravest moment as a coach or in life, you can say either, you can say both. Could you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Well, I think that moving here is quite brave professionally.
Yes. Well done. Well done.
But I thank you. But I think the bravest thing is I went skydiving.
Wow.
In New Zealand. Yeah. And I was already over 60 when I made the decision.
Okay. Okay.
To try it. And it has been absolutely the bravest thing, because you have to keep on signing documents from the moment they pick you up at the hotel. They give you an iPad.
Yes.
And you are in that van and you have to say, agree. And you're reading that, agreeing, and it says, there may be mechanical errors, agree. There may be human failure, agree. My family cannot claim anything, agree.
Yes.
So you, I'm sending you the pictures.
Yes, definitely. And here we go. We can have a look at what Ava has done. Oh my gosh. Look at that.
So the,
explain.
The moment.
Oh.
Yeah. So the moment you get out of the plane is where the bravery really is required, because you have all that information that you have just agreed. Plus look at the size of the plane. It's a sardine can. And I was 15,000 feet. Yeah. And the moment you get to the door, you say, okay, no return. Here I go. And you have to jump.
Yeah.
Onto nothing. This is scary. Mm. But then it is the most liberating energy to the point that you forget to breathe. Mm. First, because there's all the wind.
Yeah.
But also now I understand the meaning of breathtaking, because that's exactly what happens to you in that moment when you do. And then I think, for instance, moving here now, I draw on the courage I had to that moment. So if I did that,
that's
I can
beautiful.
Do this. You know. So it has had. See me and the language now, a great impact. On me personally and professionally.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that is also required as a coach, because, you know, on one side, we are asking those challenging and powerful questions to our coaches to do something great for their life, right? And then if we ourselves are not walking the brave talk, I think, I think that's a little bit of an inconsistency there. And that's why I love talking to coaches who are brave themselves, because we have to walk the talk. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to challenge ourselves and support ourselves, I think, just the same way we do with our clients.
Mm. Over the last 15 years, Ava, I'm sure there were many, many insights. I'm just going to ask you to kind of condense it and give us your top three insights over the last 15 years as a coach?
I don't think I mentioned to you, Mel, before. Mm. I'm trained as a coach supervisor. Mm. And my insights come from this place of coaching supervision.
Yeah.
Where I can look at the coaching practice. Mm. So my coaching insights cannot be detached from supervision.
Okay.
So at the Coaching Supervision Academy in the UK, where I trained as a supervisor 2012 and 13, they say who you are is how you coach.
Oh, nice.
And so it's not my insight, but it's somebody else's insight. But I take that so seriously. So Who am I being? It's just what you talked about. We need to walk the talk.
Yeah.
It's not that we need to be perfect. On the contrary,
it's
because
true.
We're humans.
Yeah.
Coaching humans.
Yeah.
And we have to be compassionate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And vulnerable. So if we want our clients to be vulnerable, are we willing to be vulnerable?
Mm.
And
very nice.
And that's how you coach. I just supervised someone this morning who was in a very judgmental position with her client, and the client is defensive. So if you are, as a coach, judgmental, which you're not, it's not okay to be, as we know. But if you are, and then what she realized is that she is judgmental in life.
Yeah.
And that's something that she needs to work because she's bringing it into every session.
Yeah.
That brings us to the second insight, that we all have a lot in our backpack. I have created the metaphor of a backpack.
Yeah.
Because I'm a very short lady, and I'm usually hit by people with their backpacks. They don't realize I'm there.
That's funny.
In planes, in the underground. Yeah, it happens a lot.
So not so funny as well. Because you get hit all the time.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Especially as I was before the corona, I was traveling a lot.
Yeah.
So, but I created a metaphor when I'm talking about self as instrument. I say, okay, one day after being hit by, I don't know, 1,000, after 1,000 times, I don't know, I said, okay, I'm not going to get angry at this anymore. I'm going to learn from this. What can I learn from this situation? And it dawned on me that we all bring our backpacks with us into the session.
Yeah.
And as we move, and if we're not aware of the backpack, what impact are we causing in our clients? Mm. So we all have good stuff in the backpack and not so good stuff in the backpack.
That's so good.
There's
that's
a lot
so
in the backpack. That's another insight. So from time to time, we need to open up the backpack, make it empty or lighter.
Thank you for the reminder. I need to check on my backpack as well.
Mm. Yeah. And the third insight is, because of these two probably, is the importance of the relationship. So I think that we underestimate the importance of contracting the relationship. When we do the contract, what we're contracting, I think, is the relationship.
Yeah.
So we really have to go into that. Well, how do you want to shape the relationship between us?
Yeah.
Because everything is brought to life relationally. That's the insight.
Wow.
So we really have to pay attention to the relational space that we create. And to do that, from the beginning, we need to be talking about it. So the word relationship, to me, is important.
Yeah. Wow, that's beautiful. So, Eva, If you had a chance to do it all over again, right? 15 years, what would you do differently?
Not 15 years, but perhaps 14, 13 years. Just after I graduated, I would already have engaged in coaching supervision because I know how it impacts the quality of my work as a coach, being supervised. And so examining my own backpack with the support and challenge of someone else. And it's not mentoring. But in the beginning, we are so, when we graduate, we just want to get it right. And it takes a long time to understand, you're not getting, it's not about getting it right. It's about the relationship. Yeah, so I think I would have understood this, or these insights might have come to me earlier. That's, I think, the only thing. I'm quite happy with the path.
Wonderful, wonderful. Perhaps you want to just share with the audience a little bit about coaching supervision, just in case there are some who do not know what it is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. That's a great question. So think of supervision. There's a word. So it's not supervisor, the word supervisor, who's someone who's going to be supervising you. But it's a reflective practice.
Wow. That's
it's beautiful. A place for you to reflect on how your own material stuff, backpack, your own issues, your own style, how they impact your work as a coach. And it has three main functions. The function of helping you develop. The second function is to look at your work from an ethical point of view. It's amazing how many coaches sometimes cross ethical lines, which are not so obvious. Because we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah,
and the third is a restorative place. It's a place where the coach is listened to and can also be compassionate with themselves.
So that's beautiful.
So you have a different perspective from your whole work and the systems you're involved with. So in supervision, we're looking at each case or pattern from different angles. And then, of course, we can have a wider perspective and understanding of how we ourselves are impacting and being impacted in the systems.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That supervision. That's the first time I heard anyone say that in that split version of that. And talking about vision, Ava, as we move into this fast pace and especially changing world that we're going through, in your mind's eye, Ava, what do you think the future of coaching would look like?
Well, we're in the middle of this. I have no idea, right? We don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. My guess, Mel, my best guess at the moment is, I think we're moving into a world that needs to become more and more collaborative.
Okay.
And therefore, companies, I work basically with companies in coaching.
Yeah.
So companies will probably move from individual coaching to some team and group coaching. That's what I think a trend should be. I'm not sure.
Okay. And of course, you have seen that happening, right? Over the years, more and more companies are moving. Not to say individuals are not important, but obviously it's also an economies of scale to help companies reach more people, impact more people with coaching. Okay.
Yes. But I think after the corona, I think we see an acceleration of this demand. and some products or models that are not exactly coaching but are close to coaching, where you have like actual learning or code development, not necessarily coaching, but that you can be very agile, move to action in groups.
I kind of realized that you have coached, obviously, in Brazil. As you have moved from place to place, how different do you think coaching has been from a place like Brazil to, obviously, very modern Europe?
I don't think there is much difference. The difference here perhaps is you have more internal coaches in Europe than you have in Brazil. That's one of the economy of scale issues that you were just mentioning. So one of the way outs was to create internal coaches. Yeah. You have a lot of that in big companies in the States. I don't know what about Australia. In Europe, it's common.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore in Europe, you have also a lot of supervision. In Brazil, we still don't have that.
Okay.
I think. Okay. But otherwise, it's not much different. I don't think.
Okay.
But I think the profession itself might need to change a bit.
Tell me more.
Oh gosh, talking to coaches is so dangerous, isn't it, Mel? What a question. I'll tell you that as the pandemic started and I was coaching executives, there were moments where I didn't want to follow the client's agenda. And I can see you nodding. So have you been through that?
Yeah. Because the difficult, difficult decisions that they have to be making. Won't go in detail, but
well, in my case, not looking at the people, just saying, okay, need to reach my goals, and putting people at risk. So, and then you have an ethical dilemma.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we have to rethink what do we do in this situation? Because they're placing people at risk, you know.
Yep. The difficult decisions still needs to be made. One way or another, there are many difficult decisions along the way. My take is I would rather have the client be with a coach than without.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. But I know you like metaphors. Do we have time for a metaphor?
Oh, yes, please. I love metaphors.
You have never been to Berlin. But
no.
Berlin, the wall was not separating linearly Berlin.
Okay.
It was sort of a circle inside a circle. So when the wall came down, there was a piece between the two walls, east and west, that it was nowhere's land, nobody's land. It was empty.
Yeah.
It had never been anything. It was just a place between the walls. There, in that place, there is a beautiful monument in Berlin. Beautiful. To all the victims, not necessarily Jews, all the victims of the Second World War. And it's underground. And on top, it's like tombs. How do you call them? Were you
tombs,
people?
Yeah.
Tombs in marble, but it's just an installation. They are not tombs. And down you have the monument. So it's nobody's land. And I think that this corona time, we are there and there's nobody's land.
Yeah.
And we will get, I don't know if it makes sense, but we have to rethink.
Yes, I am with you.
There are challenges.
Yeah.
It's not going back to what it was.
Correct. Correct.
I don't know if the metaphor makes sense, but
it does.
I feel it. We are there in a limbo.
It does. It does. And you know, sometimes it takes the place of the limbo to help us understand what's the next move or the next step or the next wave or the next place that we need to be heading towards. I have a client who has thankfully, on the flip side, made beautiful decisions. And on one, he announced it. He is the head of company, and he announced it to say that there will not be any headcount cuts. And we'll see to it that it is done in the most ethical way. Obviously, there needs to be some sort of shavings here and there. Obviously, there is different decisions that need to be made on who goes to work, who doesn't go to work, and who takes a break, and who, you know, voluntary, right? And through it all, they came out stronger. So yeah, it's just beautiful that I had the privilege to partner him to walk through that difficult place of limbo, as you have just mentioned, and yet come out different, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can't just say come out better. It's not always better, but it's different.
Yeah. So we just, I say, we have to notice it, be aware of, and question ourselves, and learn and grow from this. Yeah.
Ava, we've got two more questions to go. This question is you as the master coach. What is your master wisdom? Just one. For budding coaches coming into this wonderful industry called coaching.
Oh. The credential is not a destination. Don't look at it.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Why'd you like it?
Oh my gosh. It's so authentic for you to say that. Here we are, 100 master coaches, right, on this show, and you say, you know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And so with that, what is important, right?
It's important to understand the journey. Because it's a very humbling journey. I failed the first time. And I know so many great coaches who have failed the first time. Okay.
Twice.
There. Oh, twice. Yeah. See? There you are.
It's
all right. So I think. Yeah. And then it's not, okay, got it. No,
that's right.
The process of failing makes you understand. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Even when I get there, I won't get there, right? I will never get there. It's
always.
It's. Oh yeah.
No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
So, because I have mentees who say, "I want to get there." There is no there. You'll get a credential, but the journey to mastery is forever.
Wow. Now that's worth taking down, guys. The journey to mastery is? Say it
forever.
Again.
It's forever. I do yoga. And once I realized, since you like metaphors, do you know when you're trying to find a position in which you're balanced? I'm trying to balance my water bottle here, in which you're balanced. And once you have good muscles and you've practiced enough, it's easy for you to center and balance. After that, you find balance inside balance. You start challenging yourself and you go and say, okay, you're already balanced, but you can move slightly and still fine tuning. And then there is another level. And I think that's mastery. I don't know if it makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it does. It's deep and it's beautiful. Thank you, Ava. Wow, I can't believe it. It's already my last question. As coaches, we ask powerful questions and questions that can reveal a lot more to our coaches. What will be the question that you want to leave behind for our audience today?
What is in your backpack that might be impacting your coaching and your clients and the systems that you serve?
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. And for the workplace people, it would be the same. What would be in your backpack that is impacting you from being that great leader that you're called to be? That's so beautiful. Wow. Ava, this is the time where I allow you to share what is in your heart so that people can come and connect with you. How do they come in contact with you? Share us some handles, some places where they can come in and get more of Ava.
So the name of my company is Phoenix Coach. But the site is in Portuguese. There's only one page in English. I must work on that. But easier to find me on LinkedIn, I think. I'm sure you can put the description there. And my email is eva@phoenixcoach.com.br, BR for Brazil.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And with that, I say thank you, Ava. I've called you Ava the whole show, and you said it was okay.
You've done it.
Thank you.
You
thank
said
you.
It beautifully. Thank you very much, Mel. I thank you for this opportunity. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Same here. So, guys, I'll catch you on the next show. This has been the 100 Master Coaches Day with Ava from Brazil in Berlin right now. See you next time. This is Coach Mal signing off. Goodbye.
You have been watching the 100 Master Coaches series with your host, Coach Mal, MCC. Brought to you by Catalyst Coach. www.catalystcoach.live. We will be right back with our next Master Coach on the 100 Master Coaches series.